So with just about 6 weeks left in the year from hell, 2020 certainly is going to go down in history. The emphasis is obviously on closing more business, finishing the year strong. Now, the problem with that is that when we're focused so much on closing business and finishing strong, that we're really not talking about how we can build pipelines so that we can begin 2021 even stronger. So you obviously need both, and this week on the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our one-on-one sales coaching program. We're going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast. You can certainly learn more right now if you'd like by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. So today we're going to talk about how you can end the year strong and begin the new year even stronger. And right out of the gate, I want to make you aware of two deadly mistakes that on the surface, it's going to seem like, well, you know, I don't know if that's so bad because, see, we've always done it this way. But I really believe it's setting us up for failure in the new year. So here's mistake number one. Mistake number one, and I've talked about this recently, so this isn't new material that we're covering, but never hurts to have a friendly reminder. Mistake number one is waiting until January to start on your goals. Now, many of you hear a statement like that. And if you guys have, if you work for anyone like I've worked for in the past, right about now, and especially in December, if they're a good leader, they're encouraging you to start thinking about your goals. I'm not talking about that. I'm not telling you to start thinking about your goals. I'm not even telling you right now to write down your goals. I'm telling you to not only start thinking about your goals, not only writing your goals down, but what I'm really telling you to do is to get off your ass now in the month of November, not even at the end of November. I'm talking like right now. Get going on your goals right now. And here's why. I don't think anyone would disagree with me when I say that 2020 has been a year of, I guess a nice way of putting it would be surprises, but I'm not talking the kind of surprise like you're 7 years old and you go down under the Christmas tree, is that bike you wanted. I'm not talking about that kind of surprise. I'm talking about shitty surprises, sucker punches. Certainly, we've all experienced our share of challenges. So here's my question to you. What if last year you had, and last year right at this time, I said to everyone, hey, get going now on your goals. So my question to you is this. If you had done it, this isn't an I told you so moment. This isn't me gloating and saying I'm right and you screwed up or you should hang your head in shame. I just want to illustrate a point. If you had gotten a head start on your goals last year in November, going into 2020, do you think 2 extra months of the right activity around your goals and around the things you want to accomplish in sales, do you think that would have actually hurt you this year, or do you think it would have helped? And I think the obvious answer is we all could have used 2 extra months this year. Certainly now, as we're coming into the final moments of 2020. So, you know, let's get really specific. I want you to start now, not just plan now. It doesn't have to be a perfect plan. Let's not let this whole perfection thing get in the way of what experts call taking effing action. Now, what I want you to do, in addition to this, is 2 things. The first thing is, I want you to consider getting an accountability partner. Again, don't want you waiting until January for this. don't want you to say, yeah, I'm going to do it at the end of the month because, you know, I got to get every drop of business in here in the U.S. before Thanksgiving gets or whatever it is. See, to me, that's an avoidance maneuver. We don't want to do that. We want to take action. We want to get the action verbs flowing. So what I want you to do is get an accountability partner. Now, if you can get one of your peers to do it, that would be awesome. And what I want you to do is once a week, have a 15-minute call. You could go longer than that if you want, but the whole thing is, we don't want to be doing things that actually take us away from money activities. And yes, sometimes if you plan a little bit more, you could save time on the back end, but it can also become something where it just goes on way too long and it's just a time waster. So set up a 15-minute meeting once a week, and what you do is you basically lay out where you want to improve upon, where you want to get better, what you, again, want to work on in the next week between now and that next 15-minute accountability meeting. I personally don't like conversations when I'm having my coaching calls where we're putting these big, lofty, unattainable goals and where we're piling the plate so high because we think that's what we're supposed to do. I would rather have somebody do a few things that actually get done than somebody tell me 15 things they're going to do and maybe they get to two of them and then they feel like shit because they didn't attack them and it was never realistic. But the opposite is also true. We don't want to baby ourselves here. And that's part of why we have an accountability partner to call us out when we're making bullshit excuses about why we did or didn't do something, about why we didn't, you know, get to that action item or whatever. And also when we're piling the plate too high, I think just having a friendly word of advice from a friend saying, hey, listen, that'd be great if you could do it, but why don't we focus on three awesome things instead of these 10 kind of half-assed things that you're talking about. So you lay out what you're going to do and you both set it up. And you flag the areas, again, that you want to improve upon or the action items that you need to do. Again, we want to deal with very specific things. Not, yeah, I want to get better at cold calling. No, that's not specific enough. What we want to do is say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I've got this book on cold calling that I've been meaning to read. So what I'm going to do by next week, I want to get 1 to 2 chapters down. And there's also a bit of advice that I was given on cold calling from that crazy guy Castain on his podcast. And every day I'm going to try to implement the one idea that Castain was talking about. See, that's very specific. That's a lot, but I'm going to get better at it, right? I mean, how do you measure that? So what you do then the next week is you begin with accountability. So that conversation might be something like this. If I'm hanging out with my friend Janice and she's my accountability partner, I might get on that call and say, okay, Janice, you know, why don't you go first? Last week when we spoke, you said you're going to do A, B, and C. How did you do? Talk to me about it. And you have that accountability. You have to face your peer. And to me, that is one of the toughest types of accountability partners, especially if you have the right one. And the right accountability partner is going to give you tough love. They're not going to be an asshole about it, but they're not going to let you off the hook. Because if they're going to let you off the hook, don't go through this exercise. Seriously, if you're going to have somebody that's a pushover and that's going to say, yeah, it's okay. And, you know, they're going to give you a tissue so that you can, you know, get rid of the sniffles and all that shit. It's just, it's pointless. To me, you're wasting time. But you want someone who's tough enough to go and cry bullshit, to go and call you out when you're making excuses. You see, this is how you get things done. So that's the first thing that I would recommend that you do. The second thing in terms of getting going on your goals, we do an exercise in my coaching program all the time, and it's called the 10 things exercise. And what I do is I'll talk to my coaching client and say, all right, listen, let's come up with 10 things right now that we want to accomplish by the end of the month. Again, I'm putting a timestamp on. I'm not saying that we're going to get around to when we have time, you know, when we're not closing business in the fourth quarter and there's not Thanksgiving and Christmas and every other holiday under the sun, you know, when we feel like it. See, that doesn't get done. Again, we're wasting breath if we're going to do stuff like that. But we're talking about, okay, by the end of the month, here are 10 things that I want to do. And this could be a conversation that you have with your accountability partner. Wow, how cool is that? And what I recommend that you do as far as the action items in the 10 things exercise is that, yeah, it's great to push yourself. Don't get me wrong. But I'd rather see you do 10 small things that got done than, you know, one big thing that was like half-assed, you barely did it, you're going out there and you're not really embracing it properly, you're just checking a box here or whatever. So, again, I don't want you to baby yourself here. But what I recommend that you do, out of the 10 things, have as many as 2 to 3, I call them fire starters, things that are easy to accomplish. Again, not babying ourselves. We're not making activities to do, but they're things that need to get done. Let me just give you a silly example, but in my case, it happens to be true. I guess, you know, I'm silly. What can I tell you? But when I did my 10 things exercise for this month, I was experiencing a little bit of a loss of momentum in certain areas of my business because I was focusing on other areas of the business. So one of the things that was starting to happen was, and I had a very good excuse for it because we're redoing the man cave over here at Castane Training Systems. The man cave, by the way, is half man cave and half worldwide headquarters for Castane Training Systems. So I'm redoing what used to be a junk room upstairs, redoing the downstairs, the floor. I mean, it's just a ton of stuff. So I guess that's my excuse. But what had happened was my desk just became this crazy mess. Not even a desk. Got all kinds of shit buried in there. I might even have a fourth kid that I don't know about that's in that mess somewhere. I'm thinking I'm going to pull out some kid. Oh man, there you are. We lost you several years ago. But It got out of hand. So like one of the fire starter things that I put on my 10 things was simply to clear the desk. See, that had to be done. Yeah, I'm kind of throwing underhanded here and softballs and everything else, but it needed to be done. But you see, when I did that, I felt really good. And with that energy and feeling good and checking an item off the list, guess what I did? I went on to another task. So think about a few fire starters. Think about a few things that are going to take, you know, a medium amount of effort. And yeah, absolutely. Have like a big kick-ass thing in there that you need to get done if you have the time, right? Or if you can make the time might be a better way to put it. So that's the first thing, right? So that's the first mistake, waiting until January to get going on your goals. Not think about your goals, not like just put the plan in place and discuss your goals with your boss. I'm talking about getting going, where we start. And some ways that we can start would be have an accountability partner, get going on that, make that an action item. Then consider doing the 10 things exercise, maybe put a fire starter or two or three in there. The whole point is get going. Hey, you know what? Let me throw a bonus tip in there. One of the things I do with my action items is I go old school with my action items. Yes, I like to schedule things so I have an alert that goes off and the name of the action item at the time that I've designated to work on that action item. I like that. I like technology for that. But I go old school and I use a notebook where I write it down every single day, the tasks that I'm going to be working on. And the reason why I like that is, first of all, just the act of putting a check mark there. Just, you know, it gives you that, they refer to it as the runner's high. Makes you feel very good, right? Don't you feel good when you physically check an item off of your to-do list? And when you feel good, guess what that is? That's fuel to go and do something else that makes you feel good. Or imagine getting on the phone and prospecting after you just did something that made you feel good. It's an extra layer of body armor. But the other reason why I like to go old school with it is because every once in a while, we all get impatient with our progress. And we're thinking, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm not seeing the results or whatever. And sometimes if you go back through your notes, and if you have this notebook, number one, you could see what your action items have been focused on. And sometimes it's, well, we've been focusing on the wrong shit. We probably should have been focusing more on this thing or that thing or whatever, or maybe a better mix of action items or whatever. But the other thing too, I think it can boost your confidence a little bit, because sometimes when you go back and you go back through even a month of regular action items, or even if you do that 10 things assignment at the end of the month, you've got 10 things under your belt. I think it builds your confidence a little, because if you've been in sales for a while, you know that if you're doing the right activity consistently and you see, wow, I've made all these phone calls, or wow, I've taken all these action items, it's usually just a matter of time before you start to reap the rewards of those actions, okay? So that's kind of a bonus tip for you. Let's go on to mistake number two, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this one, and I have a different way that we're going to attack this today, and with some brand spanking new content for you as well. So mistake number two is, and we do, this happens a lot in the fourth quarter, so much time, energy, emphasis, and resource is focused on closing that you actually begin the new year. When this is all over, you begin in a weakened state and almost a non-existent pipeline. And I'm not blaming you for this one. This one, I'm going to put a little bit of heat on your manager, because, and they're just doing their job, I get it. Especially after this this shitstorm of a year that we've had, the emphasis is on closing. We got to get every drop of revenue in. Every conversation that you've probably already started having with your boss is, right, what's going to close, right? You know, what do we have? What do you think? We're going to get it in by year end? And I get it. I get it. But here's the problem. If we're just having those conversations and we are just taking actions to get more deals across the finish line, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to conclude that we're screwing ourselves in the future. So what do? Well, we don't get rid of the concept of trying to close every ounce of business before year end. That needs to be there. So let's make sure that that's there. But by the same token, we need to be doing things now to be able to begin 2021 stronger, right? We have to do that. That's part of what I was saying before. We need to start the goals now. Start the action items now. So here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest some little things that you can do now that will not really take you away from closing business and getting every drop of business across the finish line before the close of 2020. So let's talk about a few things that are going to add up by, and we're going to break this down. I'm going to give you the numbers on how this will add up if you start right now. And for those of you listening, you're wondering, well, what does he mean right now? Well, right now, I'm recording this on November 8th. And what I'm figuring is that when you back out a little bit of time lost for Thanksgiving here in the U.S., a little bit of time, obviously, for Christmas and New Year's and the holidays, I'm figuring we have about 8 solid weeks of activity between now and the first full week of January, right? Because I think January 1st this year is on like a Friday. So we're not going to count really much of that week. And I get it. You know, we're slowing down. We want to hang out, enjoy the Christmas tree, hang out with the kids. And after the year that we've had and the pace that you guys are running right now to finish strong, you deserve a breather. And I'm hoping that you have that breather this year especially. But the next week is when it's really all gonna like start ramping up, man, so we can kick ass and have a better year next year. So, to that end, let me tell you a few things that are going to really add up. So, in no particular order, here's one, and this one I'm calling 8 before 8. 8 before 8. What I want you to do every single day, every single business day, by the way, Monday through Friday, is I want you to send 8 prospecting emails before 8 a.m. every single morning. Now, that isn't hard to do, especially if you're doing it every single day, especially if you're using some form of a template that you're going to customize. It's not hard to do 8 prospecting emails before 8 o'clock in the morning. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, if you think, well, I don't know, Paul, with my schedule, that might be a little bit difficult. I've never been a fan, and if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm not big on offering a solution of, well, we'll just work more hours to be able to do it. But this is a year that I'm going to tell you, you might have to work some more hours. I know, it sucks, right? But, and I'm not being a wise ass here, but it also sucks when we don't make our bills. It also sucks when, you know, we're the one that ends up by getting canned because our numbers aren't where they're supposed to be. So this is a year where we've got to do everything in our power to make it happen. Seriously, this is a year where, yeah, I'm saying work longer days if you need to. Yeah, have time to hug your kids, have time to enjoy, but between now and the beginning of the year, if you want to be able to get a good jump start, if you want to be able to hit the ground running, if you want to be able to begin the new year stronger, I'm telling you, if you need to, then you might need to work a little bit longer days. I'm sorry, but that's what I'm saying. But to that end, 8 prospecting emails before 8 a.m. If you start right now, today is the 8th, and you start on the 9th, Monday through Friday, we're talking about, by January, you ready for this? I want to show you how this adds up. We're talking about minimal amount of time every single day to send out 8 prospecting emails before 8 a.m. By the first week in January, you will have sent 320 more prospecting emails. You see, we do it little by little. There's an old expression, and it goes something like this. Not that you would be inclined to do this, but it's an old expression, and some of them are crazy, these old expressions. But how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Here's how you can do it. I don't like elephant. I don't think I'd want to eat elephant. Seriously. You know, I'm a steak guy. Meat potatoes type of dude, not elephant. But you get the point. The way that you do it is one bite at a time. Now, if you do this 8 before 8 with the prospecting emails, by the first week in January, you'll have 320 of these in the bank. But 1 year from now, 1 year from now, you will have 2,000 more prospecting emails that you sent. Even with the shittiest of response rates, you are going to get at least a few nibbles in there. So keep that in mind. That's the first thing, 8 before 8. Then there is the old 10 before 10 approach. The 10 before 10 approach is what you want to do is every single day, Monday through Friday, get 10 prospecting calls in the bank before 10 a.m. Now, just a quick note here on both the 8 before 8 and the 10 before 10. I believe this is critical. I really believe this is critical, and here's why. Because what happens is once you get past that early in the morning thing, all kinds of shit starts going on to your to-do list. People need things. Coworkers need things. Distractions, even personal distractions, start happening. So what we want to do is begin the day from a position of momentum and strength. And this is how you do it. I also want to tell you something. I'm going to play Dr. Phil with you right now. And obviously, I won't quit my day job to do psychoanalysis. But you can't be in sales as long as I've been without knowing a thing or two about how we're wired as sales professionals. I maintain that part of the reason why we're in sales, aside from helping people, right, is we enjoy being in control, not in a shitty way, not in a manipulative way, not in an evil way. I mean, just having a say in things and not sitting back and being a passenger. We like having control of our own destiny, right? Now, one of the things that causes a big disconnect with us, especially during these crazy times, during a pandemic, during COVID-19, during lockdowns, is we feel a loss of that control. So what I'm offering you is a gift to yourself, beginning the day with a sense of control, where you're saying to yourself, no matter what, unless we've got a true emergency that can't wait until after 8 a.m., I'm doing those 8 before 8 prospecting emails. Unless there is a true 911 emergency, I'm doing those 10 before 10 prospecting calls that Castain is talking about. Listen, if you start this right now with the 10 before 10 prospecting calls, again, today is November 8th. If you start on Monday, you do this every single day. You do it religiously. Even if you're not a religious person, you do it. You do it anyway. By the first week in January, you'll have 400 of these under your belt. Now, before we look at how much that's going to be over a year, add that to the 8 before 8 prospecting emails. You'll have 320 prospecting emails, 400 prospecting calls. That's 720 more attempts to create an opportunity. Just in those 2 months that we have, those 8 weeks, with 720 attempts, unless you are basically, your messaging is telling them to F off, how could you not create something after 720 attempts? So something will be created in there. My guess is it's going to be more than something. It's going to be a few. So if you do the 10 before 10 and you start now at the end of a year, congratulate yourself because you're going to have 2,500 more calls. And by the way, I gave you 2 weeks off in there. I'm just adding up like by 50 weeks, okay? So next, one of the things I've been talking about forever on this podcast, and I actually have a cool freebie that I'm going to offer you in a second that I haven't offered in years. I redid it, made it all nice and fancy, schmancy. One of the things I've been talking about is making sure each and every week that you speak to at least 3 people from your LinkedIn network. Reason why is because, a network is kind of useless if you're just collecting names. It's going to be more valuable to you once you move it off of that status of being a static name on a computer screen and you have a conversation with them. Seriously. Do you think people, if they have a good experience with you and they've spoken with you, are going to be more or less likely to buy from you? Do you think people, if they've had a good experience with you and they've spoken with you, are going to be more or less likely to refer you or give you a warm intro? And I can tell you right now, you're going to stand out. So each and every week, I want you to have 3 calls with 3 people in your LinkedIn network, not 3 random people. And forgive me if this is shallow of me to ever propose this, but 3 people that might have a chance of buying from you or that might be a good referral partner. Again, we want to be strategic about this, not, somebody halfway across the world that's in a position that couldn't even influence a sale and you really couldn't help each other. Again, I'm not saying they're not a valuable contact. I'm saying if you've got limited time, you really got to focus on the higher probability people in your network. At least that's where you should start. So if you were to do this and you were to start now, again, it's November 8th, in case you didn't hear me, 6 times I guess I said this now, I'm feeling very repetitive today. If you do 3 calls with your LinkedIn network, you start right now and you do it every single week, 3 calls with them. By the first week in January, you'll have 24 of these under your belt. Within 1 year, 150. So I have a free resource for you. You ready for this? How appropriate is this? How to generate 3 more appointments each week. And what's cool about this resource, I walk you through it step by step. And what I even do, aside from, in fact, I'm kind of letting the cat out of the proverbial bag here. Like, why would you have a cat in a bag anyway? I don't know. Again, old sayings day with Paul Castain. I'm going to kind of spoil a surprise that I have for you, but you guys have to promise, like, we're going to do a pinky promise, not to tell anyone else. But when you sign up to receive this free guide that I have on how to generate 3 more appointments, what I do a few days later is I actually send you the template that I use that I've been using since 2010, and it has never failed me. Every single week since 2010, I have generated a minimum of 3 more phone appointments every single week. Run the math on that, right? And by the way, not just appointments, but a lot of these people have bought from me. And some of you know it because some of you are listening right now who have bought from me and certainly have become referral partners. So if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/more appointments, and we're not abbreviating appointments here, we're spelling it out, yoursalesplaybook.com/more appointments. If you go to that link, you'll be able to download a free copy, a free guide that I put together for you. I guess, and it's like 7 or 8 pages walking you through how I go about it, including 2 questions that I ask at the end of the conversation with people that have increased the amount of people referring me. And you ready for the kicker? Are you ready for the freaking kicker? Please don't answer that because it'd look weird talking to your computer or whatever. Unless you're working alone, who gives a shit, right? But if you're ready for the kicker, these people who are referring me and giving me warm intros have never bought from me. You know, to get a referral, you don't, like, stop with these crazy rules that we all have. Well, you have to have earned that referral. Says who? I mean, I have to wait for some magical moment in time where the stars align and spell you have earned it, where the hand of God comes down and gives me the key that allows me to go and ask for a referral? Hell no. I'm not waiting for that. I'm going to have skinny kids if I do that shit. So I tell you kind of how I do that. So that's a little freebie for you. Here's another one that you should consider doing, and you can start right now. What I want you to do is every single day, you guys have heard me talk about this, every single day at the start of the day, I want you to call your voicemail. At the end of the day, I want you to call your voicemail. Now, here's what you're going to do when you call your voicemail. You're going to do any of the following here. You can come up with your own if you want, but you can call up and do your typical phone pitch. You could call up and leave your typical voicemail. If you have a call coming up today and you want to rehearse a couple of talking points, leave the talking points on your voicemail. You guys get the idea. And what you're going to do is you're going to use it in a way like game tape. Now, this is not going to be live game tape, but you're going to analyze your message and how you're saying it, and your ums and your nos and your basically, and gauge how confident you sound, and listen to it as if you were the prospect or the customer. Now, if you were to do that every single day at the start of business, by the way, how long could this possibly take you? And especially if you're driving somewhere, do it safely and leave yourself the voicemail message. You're driving home, leave yourself the voicemail message. But even if you're there sitting on your ass working from home, how long could this possibly take? I mean, you're not leaving long voicemail messages. When you call up someone, you're not doing some War and Peace type of sales pitch. I hope not. It's, what are we talking about? 30 seconds or less here. It's going to take you to do it. And then analyze it. Make a note to self, make some changes. So if you were to do that each and every day, and you were to start right now, You ready for this? Every single day, and you to start right now. By the first week in January, again, first full week, you'll have 80 more practice sessions under your belt. Okay, this is part of what I call being a humble student of sales. Being willing to do the things other people aren't willing to do. Step back, assess, make notes to self, get right back out there, make the changes. But if you were to do this starting right now at the end of the year, you're going to have another 500 more practice sessions. And I'm willing to bet, ladies and gentlemen, that it's 500 more than you have now. Again, this is how we beat the shit out of any challenges that are lurking in the shadows, ready to pounce on us in 2021. And you might have heard me say many of these more than once. You probably haven't heard me talk about the 8 before 8 because I just kind of got into that. Some of these other ones you heard me talk about. But because you heard me talk about it, because this is Sales 101, because you quote-unquote know that already, or it's basic, doesn't mean you're doing it. Right now, we have to cut the bullshit. Seriously, we do. There's no more room for that. I know that stuff. There's no more time. If I were working with you right now as your coach, I would tell you there's no time to argue this. We have to get out there immediately, like the second after you stop listening to this podcast and start to implement these things. So that's something that you might want to think about. Okay, here's another one that you can do. This next one is going to take you a little bit longer. You know, all the things that I'm talking about today are things that, okay, if you did this and you started now by January, that first week, you'd have X amount of these under your belt. Within a year, you'd have X amount of these. This next one, it's something that's going to go over, I believe it's like a 3-year span. It is a 3-year span. I just checked my notes in case you couldn't see me or you couldn't imagine it. There's an interesting study that was done by the University of Southern California. And this one goes out to you road warriors out there. And I realize that a lot of this has changed since the pandemic, but I also know that little by little, a lot of you guys have been getting back out there and you're back on the road and you're traveling to see more and more of your clients again, which is awesome because I think a lot of us really miss that, right? We miss that human type of interaction. So if you drive, in fact, let me just talk about the study. The study was done by the University of Southern California, and they found that if you drive 300 miles per week, and you listen to educational podcasts, CDs, etc., at the end of 3 years, you will have attained the equivalent knowledge of an associate's degree. I want you to kind of digest that one. Think about that for a minute. You have that car ride, and I get it. Sometimes we'd rather listen to music or talk radio or, you know, sports network or whatever, or Stern, right? I mean, you do what you have to do. I get it. It's important. But also, if you're on the road, it's an opportunity for you to do some learning. So again, if you're doing 300 miles per week and you listen to educational content, podcasts. See, in fact, let me just go back on this podcast thing, and it's going to sound like I'm bashing here. I'm really not. Maybe I am, but I'm really not. I'm really trying not to bash. I think some of you might be fooling yourselves with some of the podcasts you're listening to. Because, again, I don't proclaim to have the best podcast. I mean, if I did, probably the ratings would be a lot better for my podcast. I'd be up there. I'd be all over the place, all over Apple Podcasts and every type of podcast service. And I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. A lot of podcasts out there have a lot of fluff in it or a lot of cute banter going back and forth between hosts. Seriously, I mean, how many podcasts have you listened to where you're 10 minutes in and they still haven't taught you shit? They still haven't done anything. Each of the hosts is trying to out-cute the other one. So when I say listening to educational podcasts, I'm talking about not just listening to two people be cute and try to come up with a really cool soundbite to be nice and cool for you. I'm talking about action items like we talk about here, where they're saying, hey, try this, or, you know, if you do this every single day, you're going to have this many of these. Here's a step-by-step way to do this. Action-based, not a bunch of fluff, not a bunch of banter. So be very selective in that, because it's going to impact that. But if you were to do that every single day, that you're out on the road and you're doing 300 miles a week. Hey, if you just did that, pardon me, one day a week, because you do 300 miles that one day, you have that equivalent knowledge of an associate's degree at the end of 3 years, which I think is kind of cool, man. So something to think about. The other thing, and I just want to see, I thought I had one other thing on my list. This might be it, but I just want to double check. I feel like I skipped over one. Actually, you know what? I want to add one other thing in here that I didn't think out. So you'll have to do the math on this one. But there's another thing that I talk about all the time. I've been talking about it, I think, since I started the podcast in 2010. If you were to get a handle on the amount of interruptions that you face each and every day, especially when you're trying to do one of the, what I refer to as one of the three drivers of sales success. There are three drivers of sales success, and they may vary according to your role, but basically what we're looking at is driver number one is acquiring new business. Driver number two, and it's all part of number two. It's not like two and three I'm giving you here. It's kind of like two items that are very similar, but retaining and growing, right? That, you know, retaining and wowing that business. So driver number one, acquiring new business, new account acquisition. Driver number two is retaining and wowing that business. Driver number three is account development and growing that business. Right, those are the three things that, for the most part, we get our report card on in sales. Again, it may vary according to your role, but those right there are basically the three drivers that we have to be obsessed with. But here's the problem. In an ideal world, you could focus on hunting for business and retaining and wowing and growing business in a way that you're never interrupted, but that doesn't happen. We get all kinds of interruptions. And when I say interruptions, I don't necessarily mean bad interruptions or a total time waster. I mean somebody stopping you from what you're doing, even in a good way. Hey, here's an order for you, Castain. I want to sign up for your coaching program. I'll take that interruption all day long, but it still stopped me from doing something else. Don't mean that in a shitty, arrogant way. I'm just saying, from a time management perspective, we have all kinds of interruptions. Now, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I have a pet study that I always love to talk about. And it's one that was done by a research firm out my neck of the woods, New York City, even though I live out on Long Island, right? Even though I live there, but it was done in my neck of the woods by an organization called Basics. And they found that the average person loses 2.1 hours each and every single day to interruptions, right? Again, let you digest that one. That's pretty substantial. Now, if you were to liberate just even 30 to 60 minutes a day of that back, and when I say liberate it, get that back where you're not allowing the interruption. If you were to get 30 to 60 minutes a day back, and not just have this just surplus time, but you were to focus it on the three drivers: new account acquisition, retaining / wowing the business, and then account development, you know, growing that business, it can make an incredible difference for you, even by January, let alone 1 year from now. So let's talk about the 1 year from now thing. If you were to do 30 to 60 minutes a day, look at where you're getting interrupted and you're losing time. You're trying to make outbound calls, you take inbound calls. You never get back to the outbound calls. That's a major interruption. I don't care what that call was. It stopped you from doing your outbound calls that you desperately need to create opportunities to end strong, begin stronger. If you were to liberate back 30 to 60 minutes, it's going to equate to the equivalent, you ready for this? 16 to 32 more selling days in 2021. That, my friends, is substantial. And you know what the thing of it is that this is a silent killer for us. We never see it coming. We don't notice that we lost most of the time 2.1 hours of the day because of interruptions. Because whenever I do the time management portion of my one-on-one coaching, what we usually find is that, yes, there are things that come about that we waste 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour. But usually when it comes to time wasters and interruptions, it's all the little 3-minute things and 2-minute things and 5 and 6-minute things. They just go under the radar screen. We don't think anything of it because it happens forever and it's been happening forever. So it just becomes something that it's almost like, did you ever, and I'm guilty of this. Boy, am I guilty of this. I told you I'm redoing the man cave up here. And I'm going to admit that there was a period of time where I was a real effing slob up here, seriously. And you could say, yeah, typical man cave, but no, I'm better than that. And it really was adding to my stress level, looking at piles of crap and stuff. I don't know if you guys are the same way, but I find now that it's getting cleaned up and we're about to do some renovation up here, it's a lot more peaceful for me, a lot more organized. But what happens is when you have piles of shit around and you've been looking at it forever, it just blends in. You're so used to seeing it that you don't even second guess it. It's like a piece of furniture in the room. It's just there. It's a part of the room. But you see, it's the same thing with things that get in the way of your progress and habits. And if you're in the habit of allowing interruptions, and notice what I said here, right, before we got into this, when I said 2.1 hours a day, I didn't say to you, hey, get rid of those 2.1 hours a day of interruptions. Nope, I'm saying if you could only free up 30 to 60 minutes of that, you're going to have between 16 and 32 more selling days. Again, allow me to beat up the obvious with you guys, okay? That's part of what I do as your sales coach. Let me beat up the obvious. Right about now, with the year that you've had, wouldn't you like another 16 to 32 days to make it happen, to qualify for President's Club, to get that year-end bonus, to be the best, to just simply finish the year stronger? And if that doesn't appeal to you, how about another 16 to 32 days of pay? And, you know, or how about another 16 to 32 days of opportunity? What you could do with that? If you were able to have 16 to 32 more days where you were incredibly focused and you focused on those three drivers, the things that really, what we get our pay, we get our report card and certainly our paycheck and our commissions on, new account acquisition, retaining, and wowing the client and growing that business. Do you think you'd feel a little bit different than you do now? Again, I don't say it from a place of told you so or hey, you suck and hang your head. No, I'm just saying, hey, we're all here to learn. And when I offer these things, I wish I offered them to you because I'm brilliant and I always had it right. No, many of these things I offer, just about all of them, because really none of you can out-dumb the dumb mistakes that I made earlier in my career. And I'm simply trying to be a good friend and a good coach and saying, hey, avoid this. And here's how you can do it. And here's how you can focus. So there you have it, folks. We have several ideas to help you end 2020 strong, begin 2021 even stronger. Before you go, I simply want to remind you about the one-on-one sales program that I have. And we've all heard the saying, everyone needs a coach. And really in that same breath, I would say to you, it's everybody also needs that accountability partner. And that's what I do for a lot of my clients, amongst other things. And, you know, especially someone, that accountability partner that we talked about earlier, I think it, you know, you can kind of 10x that concept when you have someone who's a hired coach who has a vested interest in your success. So that's one of the things that I offer. And let me just give you a quick case in point about why it's important to have not only an accountability partner, but but one with a vested interest in your success. Today, during this podcast, I shared several ideas. I'm going to tell you, because I've been around for a while, a very small percentage of you will actually do the things that I told you to do. Again, not putting you down. It's just the way it plays out. I get it. Life gets in the way. You might feel real good right now. You might feel real pumped, real motivated. Then just other things happen. Also, I maintain that we have a really high level case of ADD in sales. We're all over the damn place. Our mind works that way. It's the best thing about us in some ways because it just keeps us looking at a lot of things, and it can be the worst thing because it keeps us away from, you know, it just takes us off of the tasks at hand. But I can also tell you that not only will a small percentage of you actually do the things that I talked about today, but a small percentage of you, you know, I mean, many of you won't even do it long enough for these to become habit for you. You might try it for this week and then you go back to something else. And that's where a good coach and a good accountability partner with a vested interest in your success is going to be key. Because, you know, many of you are going to procrastinate and make excuses. Well, a good coach is going to keep you on task. They're going to hold you accountable. They're going to call you out when you have a bullshit excuse. And again, I've been in sales a long time. I might have been at one point the king of the bullshit excuse. So I think that's important to know. But also getting back to that idea that many of you won't even try some of these ideas long enough for them to become habit. Again, a good coach is going to keep you on point. It's going to hold you accountable. It's going to have action items that they're going to make sure that you're doing. So, you know, one of the things that we do in the coaching program to keep you on task is we have weekly assignments. So let's just say we have a coaching call on Monday. What I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, okay, by next Monday, you know, there is an assignment that you need to do because I want you to keep moving beyond a 45-minute call. I don't want our time together to be a rah-rah session where it's a Red Bull adrenaline rush where you feel good when you're on the call with me, and then within an hour of that call, it's the debilitating crash and it was just all fluff and no substance. We're going to begin each session with an update on the action items that you were supposed to complete. So again, you have the time between sessions where you're going to do homework assignments. When we go into a new session, we're going to begin with you giving me an update on the action items. And then we're going to end the session with getting the action verbs going. Where I'm going to say to you, okay, we just hung out 45 minutes. Based on what we discussed and what you learned today, what do you feel you need to do over the next 2 weeks to really own these lessons and get out there and bring your sales up a notch or three? And if you tell me things that are the equivalent of you saying, well, I'm just going to tie my shoes or something like some lame ass action item, I will call you out on it. It is that simple. I'm going to. I'm not being paid to be your best buddy. I'm not being paid to be a dick about it, but I'm not going to be your best friend here. I'm going to call you out on it. If I feel, like we talked about earlier, that you're giving me an action item list that's too aggressive, and I feel that maybe you're not going to be able to enjoy your life, or you might be huffing and puffing, or maybe, you know, you're going to half-ass most of these things, I'm also going to call you out on that too. So we're going to do that. Now, let me just make an offer to you so that this isn't all just me talking about the coaching program. What I'd like to do is offer you a free strategy session. And it comes with a little bit of a rule here. I don't want to just offer it to you because unfortunately, I don't have the time to give it to every single person that listens to my podcast and over on my blog or whatever. But if you'd like a free strategy session, I want you to do the following. Go to yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. I want you to check out the coaching page. Why? Because my style and my fees might not be for you. Seriously, my style and my fees might not be for you. If after you review my coaching page, you say, you know what, this is within my budget, I can do it, I can make it happen, I like Castain's style, I need this type of an accountability partner and a guy with 30-something years of selling experience, then what I want you to do is just, there's information on that page on how you can book a free, no strings attached strategy session. And my promise to you is this: there's a lot of people who offer free shit. Well, we have this free webinar, and the entire webinar really becomes an infomercial. There's other people who offer these free strategy sessions. The entire strategy session is a sales pitch. So you really weren't getting anything for free. They kind of had you as a captive audience, and you know, they put a sales pitch on you. My guarantee is this: if I'm giving you a 30-minute strategy session, I can promise you that 28 minutes of that will be of value to you. That'll be pure value, where we actually get something accomplished. 2 minutes of it will simply be to discuss how you can go about a next step in hiring me, and maybe talking about if it makes sense to you, and you know, that kind of stuff. So you'll get 28 minutes. I ask for 2 minutes, and you know what? You got a guy right now who's being upfront about it and not trying to bullshit you. But anyway, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/coachpaul. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Sign up for our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.